I have found that resilience can be a curse because some of us are very resilient, but if we don't have the tools to move beyond resilience, we're merely surviving.
Welcome to Mindset Reinvented. Join me weekly as we unlock strategies to elevate every aspect of your life through the power of mindset. I'm Jack Trauma. For 25 years, I've guided individuals from all walks of life through personal and professional transformations, helping them push past limiting beliefs to unlock their fullest potential. In today's episode, you'll learn how to bounce back stronger from life's curveballs and turn tough times into personal wins. Get ready for down-to-earth tips on becoming a better leader and handling big life changes like a pro. If you enjoy the show, subscribe so you never miss an episode. This is Mindset Reinvented. As Alan Watts once said, the only way to make sense out of change is to plunge into it, move with it, and join the dance. Today, we're with Tara Carles, someone who has faced some of life's most challenging moments and has pushed through it all to live a life of peak performance. Tara has over 30 years of nursing and leadership experience under her belt, and she's the brains behind Inspro, which is a coaching company that helps leaders crush their goals. And Tara is about to drop some serious wisdom in her new book. It's called Trekking Poles, with a catchy subtitle, Thriving with Confidence Through Life's Terrain. And it sounds just like the guide we all need for life's wild ride. Tara, it is so great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Jack. I'm so happy to be here, and thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Oh, you're very welcome and well-deserved. So let's dive right in. Let's talk a little bit about your background, because you've spent 30 years in nursing and leadership in quite high-stress areas like labor and delivery. How has that experience shaped the way that you help leaders deal with pressure and unexpected changes?
Well, I think you can't help but get good at performing under stress when you work in high traffic areas. I work in the busiest labor and delivery unit in the state of Minnesota, currently working part-time as I transition full-time into my coaching business. But we're on the go all the time. And I've been in nursing, like you said, for 30 years. Our patients, even in labor and delivery, are much sicker than they used to be. We just have a lot more high acuities. And so we're managing a lot of different issues, symptoms, problems within everyone in healthcare. And we're having to do that at very high paces. So I can have a 12-hour shift and deliver three different babies throughout that shift, working with three different families, going through that amazing, emotional, and exciting experience, life-changing experience. And it's really an honor to do that. That's really been a primary focus of my nursing career. And it is just, it's go, go, go. And I love it, but it does really bring with it time management, being able to handle the ups and the downs. It's really funny. People think I work in Disneyland because who wouldn't want to work where you're seeing babies born? But I also work with our families who go through loss. And that is a completely different experience. And people don't think about that because unless you had to have gone through it, you wouldn't. And we don't want to talk about those harder things. And so going through a stillbirth or a baby that only lives for a few minutes or a few hours after birth is very traumatic. And so those experiences transfer over in terms of how I've handled situations, my communication skills, my time management. And then, like you said, how do you deal with those stressful things and keep moving forward?
Tara, I was going to ask you a different question, but I'm really curious because labor and delivery, as you have suggested, it is a miracle to be in that role because you get to see life in its infancy stages and you get to see the families that are celebrating that life. But then there's that other side where if the child doesn't make it, then it's, you know, you've got extremes, you're dealing with extremes on both sides. But being that you've been in that line of work for as long as you have, how do you view life in general, being able to see how life is developed right from the beginning, and you've seen it over and over and over again. What can you share with us how you view life and how precious it is, given everything that you've seen?
I really think precious is a great word, because it is just, it's incredible, you know? And I still remember when my babies were born, you know, that's your birth story is one as a mother, you never forget each of those stories of how those babies came into the world and how long you were in labor and, you know, what you went through to get to that point. And then that magic of seeing that newborn that you dreamt about, that you, you know, felt inside of you, you saw pictures of, and here that baby is. And it's an incredible experience, but it's just miraculous. I still will get tears in my eyes as a nurse watching a family as they experience that moment. And I think that that helps us to be better nurses when we still can feel that after 30 years, we can feel those ups and downs with the families we work with.
Yeah. And at that point, I would imagine that you know that you're well aligned with your role in all of that. So then you've made some transitions and you've taken what you've learned on the job and all the experiences that you've had, and you've adapted that into your career to helping people in leadership roles and really coach them through becoming optimal performers. So what about your nursing career? What are some of the things in your nursing career that you transfer over to the coaching side of your practice when it comes to coaching leaders?
Well, you know, my nursing career has not only been at the bedside. I've also worked in leadership and administration. I've also worked in education. I worked and taught nurses prior to licensure for many years, getting them ready in the college setting. And so each of those experiences brings a different element that can be transferred over. One of the things I think about is courage. I think courage in leadership is so important. And one of the things I work with, like with middle management, is I believe middle managers, because it's such a difficult role when you're sandwiched between the top and the people you supervise below you, there's a lot of tugging that goes on and a lot of pressures from both directions. And when I talk about courage in that role, I talk about really the courage to be fired. And I know that sounds crazy, but I talk about if you're not willing to stick your neck out and advocate for those below you, you're not going to be able to build that culture you need to grow and have the performance from those that report to you. And so those are some things that are really important to me, is that culture and that courage to lead. And then communication skills, of course, as I mentioned earlier, so important. And that's been evident throughout my nursing career. I always say that the coaching and consulting I do with leaders is very similar to what I do when I walk into a room with a new family that's in labor. I check all of my story at the door. You know, my beliefs, my story is checked at the door. I walk in, and really, sometimes I only have mere minutes to make a connection, build that trust, because birth, as you can guess, is a very intimate experience. And so I need that trust. And then I really need to empower that patient and their family to make decisions for their care. And so all of that really aligns with that working with leaders, because I want to empower them. I want to really let them figure out what they need and then help them to be guided towards that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I echo what you're saying about courage, because I think that it's hard for people to buck the system if the system is not aligned with doing the right thing and rallying support, creating that culture that you talk about. I think that a lot of people, they look at it and say, well, you know, I don't want to rock the boat because it puts my role in jeopardy. And so there's this internal conflict around that. You talk a little bit about resilience and how resilience is never enough, and that we really need to aim towards thriving. And I know that courage is interwoven into all of that, but can you break that down for us a little bit? What's the difference? And then how can we make that leap?
That's a great question, Jack. You know, resilience is a word we use a lot right now. It's kind of a buzzword, and people really like to hear about people who are resilient and who have, you know, weathered the storm, who've gotten through something. But I have found that resilience can be a curse, because some of us are very resilient, but if we don't have the tools to move beyond resilience, we're merely surviving. And I think sometimes to get through something is one thing, but are we thriving on the other side? Are we willing to move forward? Are we willing to step beyond being a victim to that situation that happened, or that, you know, change in path that we didn't expect? Are we willing to move past that? Are we willing to get well? And then are we willing to be okay that we're a work in progress, and we can still thrive as a work in progress?
Yeah, that's a powerful statement, because I think that for many of us, we have this all or nothing type mentality, when in fact life is a game of inches. And if we're moving forward in the inch by inch manner, then we're making progress, and eventually it's going to manifest itself into what we want. But how do people recognize when they're merely being resilient versus truly thriving?
I think you really have to look at, what are your goals? What are the things that are important to you? And you need to come back to those. When you face setbacks, you face disappointments, when you go through loss, you really have to take a step back and take that pause and say, okay, but where was I headed? And how does that look different now? But how do I continue to move forward? And I think if we take a real honest look, we know when we're stagnant. We know when we're stuck. And we can look like we're doing okay, because we've survived and we're continuing to, you know, move and, you know, show up. We show up to our job. We show up to, you know, the dinner table. But are we really showing up for ourselves? Are we showing up in those goals we had? And are we taking that adversity and making something good from it?
Yeah. And it's, I think that, you only get to understand that about yourself is if you be 100% honest with how you feel and where you are in your life. And I wrote a post about this recently that, you know, we get up in the morning, we go through our normal routines throughout the entire day. We're hardwired to achieve. We're hardwired to find abundance and peace and prosperity, and all that stuff is the human condition, and it's all good. But if we don't stop and really just take an inventory of what might not feel good for us right now, then we're just going to keep operating on autopilot, and we're really never going to know how to feel, like you said, and put the pieces together that will allow you to thrive.
One of the things I talk a lot about is pause, reflect, and proceed. And that the proceed is not optional, because we do need to pause. We do need to reflect and be honest, but then we need to keep moving forward. And that doesn't have to look like anyone else, but we need to know that we're taking those steps for ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Proceed. I like that word, actually, because I typically use the word take action. And I think that when people hear the word take action, it sounds like this arduous task, you know, but I like proceed, because it's kind of a blend of the two, and it's a little bit easier to concept to swallow. Going back to your book, because I know you use the metaphor of trekking poles, can you give us a sneak peek into how this idea applies to navigating life's up and downs?
Great question. Trekking poles, for those who aren't familiar, some people call them hiking poles, but trekking poles is a term you use for those two poles you use to walk, to navigate. Some people use them when they're going through different types of terrain. And it really came to me when I was looking at what are trekking poles and what is a trek? And if you look up the definition of trek, using your word that you just mentioned, it's a trek is an arduous journey. Well, sometimes life feels like that. Okay. And so then what is it that helps us to navigate? And that's our trekking poles. And if you look up trekking poles, or if you've ever worked with them, they really do. They provide balance. They take stress off of us. They allow us to climb hills faster. They give us longer endurance. They allow us to navigate through things like streams or slippery rocks. So to me, it was just such a great analogy to what are those things we need to move forward through life? What are those supports we need? What are our trekking poles? And so that's where the idea of the name came from for the book. And then I will use trekking poles in my framework of how we move forward through adversity and loss.
Tara, I absolutely love that metaphor, one fellow hiker to another. And admittedly, I'm a little stubborn when it comes to trekking poles when I'm hiking, and I recognize how much value they provide to us and make things a bit easier and easier on our knees and our joints and everything. So I absolutely love that metaphor quite a bit. And I'm curious, were you on a mountain? Did you have those trekking poles in your hands when the idea came to you?
No, actually, I wasn't. I was out with my adult son, and we went for a walk, and I took my trekking poles, and we were just walking through the neighborhood. There aren't a lot of mountains in Minnesota. And an older woman was walking by. She was headed to the community gardens, and she stopped me, and she said, "How do you like your trekking poles?" And so we had a short conversation, and when she walked away, I looked at my son, and I said, "See, there's my audience." And we laughed. So no, really, this book came out of my own journey. And I've used trekking poles. I use mine in the winter when I'm snowshoeing, and I use them in the summer when I'm hiking. And so it's something that has been a part of what I use when I go hiking and snowshoeing. And I just started thinking about what they represent, and it made so much sense. And so that's how it kind of came together. There wasn't a mountain moment.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that on so many different levels, because I've had many aha moments while hiking without trekking poles. And at those times I wish I had them, but I pushed through. You have to. At some point, you know, you get so deep in and you say, okay, well, what's the alternative? To turn back and then have some regret, or am I gonna push through? And that's where the grit comes in life, to know that, you know, we have it in ourselves to carry forward. Now, you've made some pretty big moves in your life. You've changed careers. You've moved to new places. And I find that many folks are scared to take certain leaps in their lives. What would you tell somebody that might be on the fence about making a switch or move to a different type of life's path, and how they can get themselves through fears that might be holding them back?
Wow. You know, I feel like some of the times I've had to really make some changes were not so much choice. I feel like they were kind of the best option to help me to continue to move forward. And also, so like I recently, I guess it's been a few years now, but I completely moved from where I was living for, or raised my kids and lived for about 25 years. And I packed up and I moved to the Minneapolis, St. Paul area. And that was a big move. I'd lived in a rural part of Minnesota. And that was truly out of necessity to help myself grow and move forward. And it was really a mental health choice for my own health. And then in terms of my career and how it's changing, and I'm moving towards working with leaders and writing this book, that's really come out of how I feel I need to continue caring for people in a different way, away from that direct nursing care that I've been doing, and really use some of these things that I've learned along my journey.
I love that. You and I are aligned in a lot of ways. I've reinvented myself many times. I've also moved from New York to Phoenix back in 2018, and I drove across the country with whatever I can fit into my car at the time. And I'll never forget the emotions that just showered me as I was driving through the beautiful terrain from state to state. And I was listening to some music that just triggered me. And it's during those times that you really have eye-opening moments where you get a lot of clarity. And sometimes you have to just go through the pain of whatever it is that you're feeling at the time, because, you know, it's glorious on the other end if you stick through it. Now, if you can just go back for one moment, I'm curious if there were any challenges that you faced specifically when you were making any of these transitions, any limiting beliefs, any fears that were holding you back. Maybe you were second guessing yourself, and then there was something that pushed you through and made you move forward. Can you just put a spotlight on what that was?
You know, I think that we often struggle with imposter syndrome. My goodness. I mean, how many times in a week do I go, what am I thinking? what am I doing? I'm trying to go out and recreate myself and write this book and share this, you know, wisdom that I've gained. And who's going to want to hear that? And so I think that's a very normal part of our process as we grow. I once heard that if it's not scary, you know, you're not challenging yourself. And there's a lot of truth in that. We have to really, if we want to do something that has great impact, we need to be a little scared. Another piece that I think has helped me is, and this is probably a little controversial, but I hope that in my book, I bring it out in a way that's very positive. I'm a big believer in therapy. I think therapists have an incredible role in our society, in our world today. I think there's such a need. We have lots of mental health issues that are near and dear to my heart. And at the same time, and I think there's a great place for therapists, and I've had therapists throughout my different times in life when I've recreated or I've gone through adversity. But I also think there's a place we come to where we need to break up with our therapist, where we need to accept that we're not going to be fully healed and perfect before we can leave their office, that we can take that leap and say, it's okay, I can navigate now for a while and move forward, and I can come back to that if I need it. But I found myself at different times in my life where I was hanging on to that therapist and feeling like I needed to get more, I needed to glean more, I needed to get better and better and better. And what I was really doing is holding myself back because I had dealt with the past. I needed to move forward. And so hopefully that comes across in a positive way, but that's truly part of my journey.
Yeah, that is really amazing because sometimes we don't recognize the people that we're confiding in, and we're hopeful that they're going to give us some, you know, some insight on the way forward, that they are the right fit for us. But sometimes you're spot on. It's okay to move on from somebody that maybe you're not feeling like you're getting anything out of it any longer. And I also, on a more, you know, even deeper level, and this is true for family and friends, and it's harder when it comes to family, and it's really hard when it comes to friends. But sometimes, you know, there's such a toxic situation that's taking place in the dynamics of those relationships. And, you know, everybody's taught to, you know, just hang in there and be patient. And yes, we all should do that, no question about it. But sometimes when it's just so hurtful and so broken, it's important to break the chains of toxicity that may exist. And that's one of the hardest things that people find themselves with a decision to make. Would you agree?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I referred to myself being a Minnesotan, and we're Minnesota nice. You know, our goodbyes take forever. You've heard probably all the little jokes about Minnesotans, but healthy boundaries, so important. And they really are necessary, whether it's in relationships with family, with friends, with partners, just to find that ability to separate yourself and look at who is your circle. I remember as a little girl, my dad saying, who you hang around with is who you are. And of course, you know, I didn't get that as a, you know, adolescent or teenager. I didn't understand really what he meant. But there's so much wisdom in that, because we must surround ourselves with people that want us to grow and want to cheer us on in that growth and not pull us down or keep us in a toxic situation, like you said.
Oh, 100%. And before we move on from this topic, I think it's worthy to note that there's three sides to every situation. On one hand, there's the, you know, one person, and then there's the other person, and then the truth somewhat lies in the middle. And it's important for us, before we make any drastic decisions around doing that, is really take a look at ourselves and find out, what is it that we're giving off as well? What, you know, how do people feel around us? And sometimes if we do that and we really look at it, we can then determine that, you know what, you know, I'm partially involved in this. Maybe I'm 40 or 50% the reason why there's this level of stress and dysfunction between our communication, before abandoning what would otherwise be an amazing relationship. And all roads come back to us in doing the work, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's interesting you brought that up, because part of the framework in my book, one of the steps is to own your stuff. And it's really that piece is, when you go through something, you have to figure out, what part of this do I own? What part of this do I need to let go of? What part of this do I need to heal or fix? And for each of us, it's different for each situation. But that's part of that being honest with yourself.
Yeah, 100%. Well, this sounds like a wonderful book, and it's one that I will read once it's in my possession, and I will get through it. Now, if we could just switch gears a little bit here, because this is something that I know was one of the catalysts, if not the biggest catalyst for change. And if you're comfortable talking about it, I know you mentioned that you had lost your son to suicide. And again, only if you're comfortable, but could you share how this experience has shaped your approach to helping others through tough times in their lives?
For sure. Yeah, thank you for asking. Like most people, I've experienced my share of, adversity throughout my life, different challenges, and had that inborn resiliency to move through a lot of different experiences. But in 2018, I lost my son, Jeremy. He was 19 years old at the time when he took his own life. And that moment brought me to my knees. That was, that was a life stopper. It was something I'd never experienced, obviously, something I knew others who had gone through that, but not anyone super close to me. And it was a type of loss that, of course, I never imagined, and I wouldn't wish upon anyone to have to experience. And in that, I really had to figure out, what is my path now? What are my next steps? And I didn't even know the extent of what grief really was. And as I recently posted about the stages of grief and how they look like a checklist. And I'm a person who goes after it. I'm driven. And so I decided that I was going to go through those stages of grief and get them done, because this grief was awful and horrible, and I needed to find a way to move forward. And I found out in a quick hurry that the stages of grief are in no way linear, and they are really messy, and it's quite a process to go through all of those feelings, to examine those relationships. And suicide is something, for those that have lost a loved one, there's so many questions, and there's far more questions than there are answers. So that was definitely a major change in my life that has taken many years. We're on 6 years now. This July was 6 years since Jeremy's been gone, of putting the pieces back together in our lives. But that's really what turned the corner for me, where I said, I need to do something different. I need to give back. That was the catalyst for me moving. That was the catalyst for me switching over and becoming a certified coach and wanting to work with people. So a lot of things have come from that. And I probably forgot your original question, Jack, as I kind of shared a little bit about Jeremy, but
that was it. You answered the question.
Wonderful.
And thank you. And thank you for sharing that. I know it's hard to probably talk about even to this day, and you've done the work, but I don't know of any greater loss that one could experience than losing a child. And we have very close family members that have also been in that situation, and the pain still stings them to this day. It's something that you never forget. And I respect the process that you've gone through a great deal to get on your feet and reinvent yourself and be able to help others and really share the things that you've learned about that process and how others can apply it in their own lives. What would you say then to someone who might be supporting a friend or a family member through a major loss of their own?
That's a great question. What I found through losing my child was that people are very uncomfortable with death. People are very uncomfortable talking about it. I am grateful to the pastor who did my son's service for his funeral, because the night before, he sat us down and said, people are going to say some really crazy things, and some of those things are going to be hurtful, and they don't intend to be hurtful, but they aren't comfortable, and they're not sure what to say. And it was such a good thing to hear, because it helped me to prepare for that next morning. And I probably didn't share this before. I've been single for a long, long time, and I was divorced from my kid's dad many years ago, and so went through that process of losing my son as a single mom. And although I have a great relationship with their father in terms of co-parenting, it was a lonely journey as a single mom. And I remember that morning standing in the church as people came in, and I probably hugged 500 people that morning as they came through the line to talk to me. And they did. They said some crazy things. And so my advice to people is to remember the person's name. Bring up that person. So if it's a child or a sibling or a spouse or whoever it is that has passed away, don't be afraid to talk about that person. Share a great story, or just say, I'm sorry for your loss, or just be there, reach out and say, I'm thinking of you. I remember telling people that I wanted them there at his funeral, that I wanted to hear from them through messages and text, because it was supportive to me. And I think that's true for most of us, to just need that reminder that people are thinking of us, that they're remembering that special person in our lives who's lost.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is really powerful, and it's heartfelt. And I think that just adds a level of, while you're grieving, when people are not in that same headspace, that they're saying things that they shouldn't say. And it's not the right time. It's inappropriate to say to begin with. And then you're dealing with not only the grief and the sensitivity around that, but then you've got to deflect all of that. And so I don't know, and I hope to never know what that feels like. And again, I appreciate you sharing that with all of us. And on the flip side of all of that, looking ahead, what's getting you excited about the future as it unfolds for you and the work that you're doing with your book that's publishing? So what's getting you charged up right now about the future?
You know, what really stood out for me is, as I worked through the death of my son, I realized that the stages of grief didn't help me. Not knowing what they were a little bit of a downer. And I found out that the things that I had used, the tools I had used throughout my life when I faced other things that clearly were not nearly as difficult, but in the time felt very difficult. You know, I think we go through things and we can't ever judge or quantify whose loss or whose setback is harder than another's, because in the moment, whatever we're facing feels overwhelming. And I found out that the tools I'd used in the past were very similar to the tools I was using to move forward after Jeremy left. And you don't move on. There's a lot of things in life we don't move on from, but you do move forward. And as that became a reality for me, that I was using those tools and that I could use those tools to help others, that got me excited. And what I'm so excited about is that I have a passion for helping people. And I'm going to get to do that long term. You know, I'm going to get away from the bedside of nursing and grow in this way of consulting and coaching people. I love speaking. I'm doing some keynotes and different things to just really help people feel inspired to move forward, to feel like they can move past some of the adversity that they've had to endure. And those things, that's what gets me up every day, is knowing that I can take something so horrible and I can use it to help other people. And that's really important to me.
I can see that. And what a blessing it is for you to work with people in helping them get through whatever it is that they're dealing with, because you have overcome one of the most absolute challenges in life. And so anybody that would be blessed to work with you would really see life through different lenses. And what we're going to do is we're going to, you know, share your social media links and also anything that you really want to put in front of people. Your story is incredible. I'm inspired by your life's path, and its challenges, you know, particularly with what you've gone through and your mission to, you know, help people thrive, not just survive. So we'll have all the links in the show notes for our friends can learn more about your work. In the meantime, friends, if you would like to visit Tara, you can do that at inspro.com. It's INSPROW.com to learn more about Tara and what she's all about. And again, we'll put those links in the show notes. And again, Tara, thank you so much for joining. And thank you all for tuning in to Mindset Reinvented. If you found value, as I always say, please, please, please pay it forward. Share our show with others who may benefit by listening, because we never know what someone needs to hear right now, today. And you can be the bridge to making that person's day, their month, their year better than it ever has been before. It's really just giving them exposure to the things that we're discussing on this show. And also, if you're not on our email list, make sure that you visit us at mindsetreinvented.com so that you can not only be notified of newest episodes, but get some goodies from us as we go along in terms of resource guides and different downloads on the house. So with that said, until then, keep living your best life. Tara, thank you again, and we will see you soon.
Thank you, Jack.
You're very, very welcome.